There is no challenge in science against Christianity. There's no challenge. Often today, we falsely polarize the two, mostly on the science basis. Many people that I meet today, you ever heard that expression, they know just enough to be dangerous. This is true in religion. This is true in philosophy. This is true in science in many ways. People talk about science as if it tells you anything. They think of science as this monolithic thing that is able to, by its own predetermined methods, deliver you everything in life. It's not. Science, by definition, is the word knowledge. And so immediately, when most people talk about science, they're not even prepared to tell you which discipline within science they're speaking from. They literally think of science as a worldview. Science is a worldview. And in that sense, what I mean is that it presents no challenge against Christianity, no insurmountable challenges, any more than any other religious view or other view could. Now, I know many people claim to not be religious today. I know that the generation called Z that is coming along now gauges success, happiness, success, fulfillment, higher than anything. If you take statistics to mean anything, I have a hard time doing that. But if you do take the statistics and researching, gathering of information, it would seem that the Gen Z values very little religion or truth in any way. Most would not deny, you know, in so much as it aids them, that such a thing might even exist, but they don't care. They're far more concerned about pensions and pride, meaning having a nicer car, nicer clothes, and a bigger home, nicer stereo, necklace and watch than the guy next to them. That's far more what consumes the world today than God or truth or even family. Family takes a very distant seat in this generation to self-fulfillment, happiness, and success. Success in job, etc. So when you talk to most people today with that kind of a mindset, they're not scientists. So just like most Christians aren't theologians, even though we're all called to be, for sure. Let's just say most Christians aren't pastors. Most people who would consider themselves against Christianity, and I would just speak as a Christian, I could speak against any religion, science could speak against any religion, those who hold that science worldview thing that I'm talking about, but I'll speak of it as a Christian. Those who are against it themselves are not scientists. I think I may have spoken in all my years of evangelism to like one scientist, and that was in some form of biology. Science is a worldview, is mainly what we're talking about. And most people know just enough to be dangerous, like a first-year undergrad student is dangerous to talk about philosophy or psychology because they've read part of a book for 3 months. And suddenly it just feeds into all your own preconceptions and presuppositions. And, you know, you think you're Sigmund Freud. Although, you know, whatever his advanced studies were. This is the danger of it. So, in this... Sorry, I had a phone call come in there a second ago. In this, there's no challenge. What the challenge is the appearance of the challenge. So the more that you study science, and again, there are very few people who do in any legitimate scientific discipline, you will find that there is nothing that contradicts Scripture. The Bible isn't a science book. It's not a science book. It's not a book on biology. God does not seek to lay down scriptural revelation such that a doctor who wants to understand why you have a headache could ascertain, you know, the receptors in the brain due to stress and blood coagulation or stoppage, rather, would probably be a better term, or some inflammation or whatever causing it, it doesn't lay it out. What it would invite men to do, and women who want to figure out what makes people have headaches, is say, since God designed the body, if it's not functioning rightly, leading to a headache, then there's a joy and an honor in taking care of God's creation and learning how to fix it. Well, there's your motivation for this wonderful, innovative pursuit. And there's nothing that I can see that would prevent, therefore, any legitimate scientific discipline from greater levels of inquiry and greater levels of discovery and innovation. Now, there are ethical overlaps that just jumped into mind. I remember watching President Bush address why he would not fund embryonic stem cell research. That the progress was really made with adult stem cells, and that embryonic stem cells, had no promise at the time, but people wanted to do it, but it meant the ending of a life. Now, in my satanically led culture of death, that's not really a problem for a lot of people. Last year, abortion was the leading cause of death in the world at somewhere around 42 million people, if I remember rightly, the number, around the world. And my culture contributed significantly to that number, so we don't really have a problem with that. And it seems with each year, it's getting worse with each, with each passing day. But there are also some great things going on in that fight that I'm encouraged by. But, you know, I can see the ethical overlap there that would stunt research that could lead in innovations in medicine to potential cures because there's an ethical problem. And that would be informed because of a Christian conviction on my part where I would say, look, you can't kill babies to get stem cells, even though, generally speaking, my problem in the culture, it's not a problem in my culture. Murdering kids, well, that's okay, as long as they're really small kids and you can't see them, or kill them, throw them in the trash. Separate audio message. So there's nothing in any legitimate discipline that challenges Christianity. Now, the problem comes in with science fiction, like evolution. Evolution has no basis in science. It is a religious view where man is God and determines truth. And it's informed by, mendacious, self-motivated individuals who have no problem lying and fudging, wet labbing the facts. So, yes, in that, there's a challenge. Because Mr. Secularist over here wants to say humanity is 13 billion years old, or the planet is, and humanity is just the result of macroevolutionary change over time. So we are nothing but more highly evolved apes. That common apes and man had a common ancestry, and we just are what we are by natural processes. I hear over and over the common refrain, again from those who know just enough to be dangerous. Well, most people believe in religion to explain the things they can't explain. So that's where science comes in. And now, you have staff on the skin, we know that's deadly, but it doesn't hurt you if it's on the surface of your skin. And when people used to get cut, they would think it was demonic possession that got them sick, and they would pray against it and not be able to solve it. And now science tells us about staph infection, and we don't need God anymore. Well, it certainly is right that people were wrong in both religious and medical disciplines in the past about what caused disease. Absolutely. Again, both medicine and those who had no specific practice in medicine, but maybe were of a theological mindset, I have no doubt were wrong about these things. And science does inform us better as a result, but such is a challenge now, nothing against good Christianity or good science. It's not, it's the absence of both that was the problem. Good Christianity wouldn't explain sicknesses, good informed Christianity, as always demonic. And good science wouldn't explain those things as, you know, like that we should bleed somebody when they're sick. Just remove blood and that'll make them feel better. It's really weird, right? So if you have good Christianity, meaning good theology here, and good science, well, then there is no problem. And again, we certainly have learned from both. But that's not a challenge that presents a problem. That is understanding both better and seeing how they work together. The problem with evolution is it's a religious worldview that claims factual evidence as its basis. In other words, if you see the facts, doesn't require God, doesn't require supernatural inspiration in your heart, or illumination rather, doesn't require that. You look at the facts, you come out a Darwinist. Well, that's the claim. I look at the facts, and since there are none for evolution, I have to dismiss your worldview. Now, Christianity is nowhere near devoid of facts. We have more facts than anybody. We have all of history. We have all of redemptive history as a fact, like prima facie evidence. Christ died and rose again. Bam, right? Well, that's a fact, but you can't look at it. So I don't claim that Christianity can be proven just based on facts. I don't claim that. It is a supernatural thing or nothing. Now, I'll present you the facts. I'll tell you that you are guilty for denying the facts, because that's what the Bible teaches from God's perspective, but I cannot see your heart. All I can do is present to you the reality of the facts and do what Scripture commands me to do, but I know you can't believe without entirely supernatural assistance. So in other words, you can't believe on your own. So Christianity, unless you're some bad evidentialist that just thinks you can, I don't want to try to tell you I can prove to you the Christian religion. I can't. Only God can prove to you the Christian religion. So see, there's no contradiction between what I claim as a believer and what scientific disciplines can teach me. There's no rub. There might appear to be, but the more you think through it, the more you see that the two are in perfect harmony, unless you're talking about science fiction, like evolution. Evolution contradicts reality in a number of ways observed in every legitimate scientific discipline, but it hangs in there because it allows men to throw out God. And that is the primary motivator for it, or maybe the love of money. There's a lot of money in this scientific worldview business in the last 200 years, folks. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars in pharmaceuticals and research, different scientific disciplines that have given rise to various more scientific disciplines. And there's a lot of money in it. So if it's not the love of money, it might just be the love of self or other good motivations that maybe could turn south the moment those good motivations, like maybe wanting to help the sick, obviously a good thing, cause you to deny God. There is no challenge of legit science. There's no challenge to me. There's only a challenge to me as a Christian in bad science. And bad science is like evolution. Bad science are strange views of astronomy that people claim cause them to deny the existence of God or something. That's bad. That's not good science. That's science fiction then. So I guess what I want to tell you here is love science. Love it and pursue it. There's nothing that should cause you as a Christian to not want to build an electronic automobile. There's nothing as a Christian that should stop you from wanting to invent a better pacemaker or a better method of surgery, you know, through computers or something. There's nothing in the Christian faith that prevents you from doing anything unethical in any legitimate scientific discipline. And now the facts are in. Let's say people wanted to explore Darwin's ideas and for a time looked into them. What are the merits of the claims? Well, now we know that there are no merits to Darwin's claims. We know this because scientists tell us this. There are many scientists, and it's a growing number, that are saying we've had to question this whole thing because of the advances in all these scientific disciplines. Darwin's theory is clearly incorrect. It was wrong from the start, but we know more than he knew then. And so we have learned from scientific methodology that these theories of naturalism as causality, in other words, not God, supernatural origins, simply aren't in line with the evidence. And so, if you're a good scientist, you abandon science fictions and you go where the evidence leads you. Well, that's going to be to Scripture, always has been, but let's just say for a time we do explore some theory, which makes sense. Let's do it. We now know that this is false. Evolution doesn't happen. Never has, never could, and so never will. We know this. Kinds never change. We've never seen it. So whatever theory there is, number one, we'd have to wait a billion years to see it. Number two, we've never seen it anywhere happen. And so let's not call this science any longer. But most people, because of our fallen and rebellious hearts against God, are looking for any excuse to deny Him. Above it all, below it all, around it all, I will submit this is for why evolution is so popular these days among people. Why it's so popular? The fallen human heart, the Bible says, hates God. Sin causes not just not just neutrality before God, animosity, antagonism. The fallen human heart does not submit to God and cannot. And so as a result, man looks for any way to rebel against God, whether that's sexual immorality. Ever seen a gay pride parade? This is open rebellion against our Creator, because now our culture is, that's in vogue. It's in vogue to openly rebel against your Creator. So it's popular. Evolution is the same way. And now I can claim I'm not dismissing God on supernatural premises. In other words, I'm not choosing another religion. I'm choosing a self-professing, sterile worldview, just based in science, none of which most of the people upholding it to whom you speak have ever delved into with any sort of detail, mind you. But now I can dismiss God and just go with what the evidence tells me. Of course, again, these are the same people that have never considered the evidence, that don't know it. It doesn't matter to them. It allows them to rebel against God. I do believe that is the principal motivator for why the naturalist worldview, oft expressed in evolutionary tendencies, is so attractive and appealing to young people today. In this upcoming generation, they're spiritually numb, and in the darkness, they think this stuff makes sense. It's just another philosophy, folks. Evolution, or the natural worldview, meaning there's no God, the world is just a result of natural processes. That's what I have in mind here when I say this naturalism. That worldview is so popular today, it's just another philosophy. It's just another one, like Epicureanism, Platonic theory, Aristotelian philosophy. It's just another philosophy. That's it. And its mechanism isn't reason or wisdom or observation. Its mechanism is imagination. Just pure imagination based off a supposed scientific premise. But it violates the scientific premises it claims to uphold at every step. It is not observable, testable, repeatable. Evolution is not. And so it cannot be a result of scientific methodology. It is instead based on premises that might lead to discoveries in legitimate scientific disciplines, in medicine or health or astronomy or aerospace, I mean, you name it. Amazing advances in humanity through technology. I'm so grateful to be alive in the age that I live in. Even just for the jeans that I have on right now that are so comfortable. I'm so grateful to be born in the era I'm born in. Because of the products that lead to solid development in these areas, the science fictionist, Darwinist, can make it seem like those same processes have led to their imaginative conclusions. It's dangerous and it's false. And so when you begin to learn what the claims are behind Darwinistic kind change and evolutionary, macroevolutionary constructs, you begin to see this has no basis in science. Even if a scientist affirms it, the basis of this scientist, who's just a human being dealing with the facts in front of them, for assuming this unfounded premise of evolution in the macro sense, it's a philosophy to challenge. So stop being intimidated when somebody tells you this is like a facts-based view. It's not. There's no challenge to Christianity based on facts. Every fact will only lead you to understand the biblical worldview makes sense. And in light of that, I would never proclaim that somebody could find Jesus as Savior and Lord because they studied a geological time scale. That's not going to teach you need Jesus. No, only Jesus can teach you need Jesus. And so let me say this too. When you take naturalistic assumptions, the means through which you supposedly arrive at your conclusions, again, most people have no idea the foundations for such faulty conclusions in evolutionary theory. But once you use those same methods and try to apply them to Christianity, and again, this is all people know, how many young people denying Christianity have any understanding of justification by faith alone? Right? I mean, come on. How many of them have any understanding of what it means of the imputation of Christ's righteousness? Trinity. How many could break down any sort of lapsarian theories or eschatological views, or how many could talk on soteriology without Googling the term? How many of them at all could break into the kenosis theory and its dangers regarding Christology, and break down any of the historic creeds and confessions about theology proper and the other areas of systematic theology? How many could do it? Well, I venture to say 1 in 20,000 could give you a 101 level even definition of such things. So they don't understand, and yet they embrace these theories of evolution, and they're try to apply to their misunderstanding A of Christianity, they try to apply natural mechanisms, natural processes to Christianity. And here's what they're doing. They have out a thermometer, measures temperature, and they have it up in front of a stereo trying to tell you, see, there's no volume. In front of a blaring stereo at 88 decibels. They have a thermometer up trying to tell you, see, there's no noise. They're deaf. They are driving down the street, holding out the window an ohm meter, trying to determine wind speed. See, you're applying right things and tools that used in the proper place can in fact deliver you the results you're seeking, but the moment you try to apply them to Christ is the moment you're trying to measure resistance, electricity-wise, with out the window of the car. It just doesn't work. Never could. It's not designed for that, and it can't get you there. You take all these things into account. What I'm telling you is there's no challenge in science. Embrace it. It is the Christian worldview that gave birth to scientific innovation. And only in the Christian worldview is it even possible that you would see it. We know that God created an ordered universe. And because of that, we can seek Him, His periodic table of elements, that just like we named photosynthesis a process God designed and put a name on it, but we can't explain it outside of God any more than you can explain an oak tree without the first oak tree. We just put names on it. God's periodic table of elements. He designed the bonding of these elements in ways that we only understood the more we had methods and tools to unite different elements. They still bond according to fixed principles. God has given us the foundation for science. It's Him who produced and designed fire, something that can burn, and when you harness the power of it and now electricity, you can run every instrument that gave rise to such amazing innovations in our lifetime. The more you consider God as the chief scientist, if you will, the more you can appreciate every legitimate scientific discipline that does not dishonor Him as the chief scientist. He loves knowledge. And I believe God is very, very well pleased when we invent and bring Him glory as creators of things. Again, we can create nothing out of nothing. We can only work with His atoms and His particles. That's all we can work with. When mankind has never created a single grain of sand. Ever. So we only work with what He gave. Now, if we're stupid enough to take His created world and deny Him in it, well, then there's a level of condemnation we deserve in all of it. But when any scientist says, Lord, You designed the world, and it's My privilege to develop in it My own creation. I mean, come on, man, the iPhone, even though Steve Jobs, like, abandoned his own kid, shame on him, freaking coward, left his own kid and wife to fend for herself, or girlfriend. He was too much of a coward to ever marry the woman. You know, had worldly success, was clearly a loser. Any man that would abandon his family, I'm just going to say, you could be a billionaire, you're a loser. That's just my system of measure. But what an invention the iPhone is. I mean, this technology, this graphical user interface that just uses the electricity in my body, point to touch with an interface to swipe, click. It's amazing. What an innovation that is. If God isn't dishonored by the person doing it, what an honor and a reflection we are as people created in the image of God, which man is, who innovate and do like their creator in designing and innovating. I think God loves it. And so, if you're a scientist, please understand, Christianity is on your side. We're not on the side of science fiction. We don't adhere to stupid theories that are religious views. Well, of course not. That are wrong religious views. Of course not. And if you're a Christian and you want to go into some scientific discipline, but there's any, you know, confusion in your heart that, maybe I shouldn't because I'm a Christian, well, don't buy into the lie that there's any challenge or any tension between the two. Again, there may appear to be, and let's explore those things. Let's talk about them. Let's see how they don't interfere, because I guarantee you they won't. Every legitimate facet of every legitimate scientific discipline, so we're going to leave out paranormal psychology or paranormal studies that, you know, guys go around with a meter and detect ghosts. So we're going to leave out that. We're going to leave out Darwinian evolution. We're going to leave out things like that, you know, things that are that unfounded in science. And we're going to talk about legitimate sciences like biology and chemistry, physics, you know, any of these scientific fields, medicines, etc. Nothing in any of them in any way does anything but adorn, like a beautiful necklace, the neck of the woman wearing it. They do nothing. They detract from nothing. And if they appear to, well, there's a contradiction going on there, perhaps. that the person doesn't understand. And so I want you to be free to explore. I want you to be free to inquire of God in His universe. He wants you to. And I believe He's greatly honored when people give Him thanks and do wonderful things with His creation. In research and in design and in intelligence. He loves it. And I think it brings Him great joy to see it. And it's led to some amazing things in history. So, just wanted to record a little message to talk about in the day that I live in, how science is no challenge. Science is not a thing. You have to talk about what you mean by science. So no legitimate sciences is a problem for me. And it shouldn't be for anybody listening to this either. All right? Keep inquiring and keep going after it. And yeah, I hope you find great joy in it and satisfaction and even service to God in doing it. Many men and women throughout history have, and there's no reason today why that shouldn't continue.